and see Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Our number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. Send a message, Aaron will answer. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Jerry Bo Knows with a Z, and at Josh Jordan 975 is Team Moneyline fills in. You can also follow him. You got a Moneyline account too, right?
At Moneyline 975. We're about to hit 1,000, so throw us a follow, please.
It feels good to have that Z back. It does.
I bet.
Yeah, well, I never understood why you got suspended the second time.
Again, just for videos, it's like someone sits out there and all I had was the soccer video. The second time it was a music video. And I asked myself, then why does YouTube give you the share option to go on Twitter? And funny about that, I ended up, my phone bill comes in $245. So the account that suspended me, they were based out of Germany. So this whole time I'm calling them and we're trying to communicate and I'm just sitting there on hold for like 3, 4, 5 minutes at a time. And then they would come back and it got to a point where I knew we couldn't understand each other. So I tried to do breathing.
9, 9, 9, 9, 9.
Just breathing a little harder, just... And then they're just hang up. So I call back and I'm just like, it's me, Jerry Bonozzi. Just unblock me, please. Then that phone bill comes $240. It's like... What do I even do here? They said someone's been calling to Germany nonstop.
Damn Germans. Think they would have learned their lesson in World War II.
Mm-hmm. The juice of life. And speaking of juice of life, you know, we pay juice and gambling. Another one. I don't realize how old I'm getting till it's time to renew my license. It's kind of right at the hit sure. You over the head. Yeah. You're just thinking, dang, it's been that. Well, this one comes along and they say, you're not going to be able to renew because you have some kind of fee. So I call to receive the juice of life. And then they tell me, I thought it was from some ticket. I was like, no, I paid that. They're like, this is from 2009, sir. Basically, it was a curfew from, I guess, the hurricane or whatever was then. And I'm thinking, I don't even know if that was me. And there's been another natural disaster. Doesn't that wipe it out? Right? Like, whatever that was. I mean, now you're still charging me. They're like, yeah, you owe us like $60-something. You actually had a court date. And I was like, man, that's not me. And they said, you signed here. You're supposed to show to court. And you have a failure to appear. I asked her. I was like, well, how'd I do? You know, what'd they say? And she said, well, basically they dropped it. But you still owe these $60-something. So from 2009, now they want to charge me? Another natural disaster after? That should be deleted.
I hate to break it to you, but like one hurricane does not erase the prior hurricane. You're probably lucky that you got off light, but you know, so you can't get a driver's license unless you pay this.
Well, I paid the $60-something, and then I communicated with a friend of mine from then, and I remember now why we were out so late. It was that Ed Hockley game where he blew a call way back, and either way it goes, we stayed out drinking at this one bar that happened to be open, and on the way home, we had biked up there, and on the way home, they it was me. I'm putting it out there, it was me, and I do owe you the $60-something, which is paid for.
You got to pull that Eddie Murphy defense. That's not me.
See, now, no, if you're out there after curfew, I got to say, you probably had bad things in mind.
Probably, for yeah. sure. And so, you know how many times that lady on the phone's heard, that isn't me. She wasn't having. I was like, I know it wasn't me. She just, all right, what kind of card is it? I'm like, I'm telling you, it wasn't me. She said, what kind of card is it? Okay, it wasn't.
Yeah, just admit your crime. Just. Look, okay, I messed up. You know, wanted to go out and drink. Sorry. Dude, they're advertising the hell out of this, the boys, now. I was telling you guys off air, you got to get on that show.
That's next up this weekend for me.
Man, that show is so freaking good. I even told the wife, if, you know, when she starts watching it, I'll watch it again. That's how much I liked it. So, And a friend of mine told me if that happens again, he'll translate for you. He speaks French, German, Spanish, Italian, and Portuguese.
I need that next time I get suspended because they got me for $200 and some.
That's my buddy Sam. He's what we call a smart.
Clearly.
So, getting back to the luck topic thing. So it's like hitting the red light on the way home when you realize you haven't hit one the entire time and you have the balls to say it out loud. That's the thing. It's like there'll always be that stretch where, damn, I've hit every red light today, especially downtown on weekends because they're out of sync. But then during the week when you just blast through them, you forget about that. It's like, the green lights were there the whole time. That's just how our minds work. And we all do it sometimes. Like if I'll go outside and the Astros score three runs, somehow you think, oh, if I go outside, Astros score runs. I stay inside, Astros don't score. Everybody thinks that, but no, it has nothing to do with anything.
Now you have your classic ones like the rabbit foot, and then you ask yourself, how did this start? Like, who was that first guy? Who was the first guy to say that black cat? You had to go out on a limb and say, hey, black cats are... they're bad luck. People have to think you're insane. Like, man, you're a little bit over, you know, this rabbit foot. And then they, you know what I mean? Is there anything behind the rabbit foot?
Obviously, the rabbit foot.
Yeah, wasn't lucky for the rabbit, clearly. Yeah. A three-legged rabbit.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some poor guy limping around the forest with one less leg. And yeah, but hey, but that's okay. If you win an extra $2 in the slot machine, then yeah, poor
it's
thing.
All worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably got like a little wooden peg, like a pirate, and he's hopping around. And getting eaten by hawks and stuff because he can't escape because you got his damn leg.
Way to go, Jerry.
Congratulations. Murderer.
Great luck.
Yeah, that rabbit needs to call Lawyer Dave. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. We'll squeeze in a couple calls next segment just because, you know, I think the people want to talk to you. Jay Garza says, how do the Zeke and Gordon holdouts affect fantasy drafts? It's going to be the same thing as it was with Le'Veon Bell last year. You're going to have to gamble at some point, probably. I wouldn't worry about Zeke. I think Zeke's going to wind up being there. But the Gordon thing looks like that could drag out.
It does, and we talked about it on the show last week. Usually when these guys hold out, even if they come back in time for the season, how often do they pull a hamstring almost right away? So I'm a little weary of these guys that sit out. I'm going to be a little more conservative. Go with the guys like Kamara, McCaffrey, guys that are in camp, Saquon Barkley. They usually get hurt when they hold out, so I'm staying away.
We actually touched on that exact point, and we looked it up, and basically running backs are the position that missed the most games on average, 2.8 games missed. Once they're a holdout, 3 games on average, players that hold out, they miss a year. So be expecting to be on a shorter season, and not saying through the holdout. They say either whether it's through injury or whatever the case may be, players that hold out and running backs on top of that, about 3 games missed on average per year.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. I don't even know if I want to talk about Carmelo Anthony today or not. It was just everybody's talking about that, and it was just a dumb comment about a guy who was here for a week. Who cares?
Yeah, for real. I don't understand.
What do you think? Yay or nay next segment?
I will say, if you want to see the entire interview, go to Sports Map.
Plug.
Well done, sir. Well done. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. No A.J. for one more day. He'll be back on Monday. Do want to take a second to thank all the fill-ins this week. Jerome Solomon on Monday was fantastic. Booker T and Brad Gilmore were in on Tuesday, who I know, Jerry, you work with them. Fun couple of guys, man. They did a great job. Boss in the Gloss, always fun. And Patrick Creighton, want to thank him. He was a really good sport yesterday and played right along with all of my stupidity. So and did a great job. So thanks to everybody, and thanks to you guys for filling in today. And this will be the last stretch where you know, we'll miss days here and there, but this will be the last stretch for a while where we won't have the whole team together because we're almost to football season. Yeah. And while I did not watch the Hall of Fame game last night, I did watch Canadian football. So Saskatchewan won.
Didn't, still counts.
I'm 3-0 on my bets this year, but I didn't play last night. I haven't played. I've been really waiting to see. I didn't study it as much in the beginning because I had a lot of other stuff going on. So now I'm really starting to study it a little more. So I will start having some plays on a fairly regular basis next week for those of you who are interested. All right, let's get a call from Nick. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Man, I'm a longtime blitzer, but I've been with Moneyline since day one. I'm glad to hear that you guys are getting some daytime stuff on the weekdays. Got a fantasy question for you, though. Man, I've been doing this draft app for my mock drafts just so I can get some people that are serious about mock drafting and make some money while I'm at it for these best ball leagues. But, man, I mean, obviously Kelce is a solidified late first rounder, second rounder, but I'm seeing Ertz going in, like, the late second round, and Kittle in the third. I mean, is that where we're at nowadays? Is that normal? I'll hang up and listen.
Absolutely. That's where those guys are going because there's only three of them that are elite. So you're going to have to pay a premium for them, and that's taking a second or third round pick with, you know, for one of those guys. And, I mean, it makes sense. You have a big advantage against your opponent if you have an elite tight end because most people don't have one. But for me, I'll probably just wait, you know, take a guy a little later, hope for some good value. Maybe like a Delanie Walker kind of guy, you can almost get him for free, you know, hope that he comes back this year and he doesn't get hurt again. But, you know, Hunter Henry, you can get in the middle rounds. You know, there's a few other guys to choose from where you don't have to spend a second or a third round pick. But tight end's tricky. It kind of reminds me, remember when Jimmy Graham and Gronk were the two best every year and you had to pay a top pick for one of those guys. And it's kind of like that again.
Now, whenever doing these tight ends, I have them broken down in tiers. And I think Kelce is in his tier of his own. Then I have Kittle in that second tier and Ertz touching that tier, but not so much there because someone right behind him in Dallas Goedert. And if you look at the way the Eagles play, they have that 12-man personnel. That's when you run out both tight ends, and that's where they like to pass out of. That's the most successful play or formation in football, and that's on statistics. If you run 12 personnel with two tight ends, that's where the advantage is. So I don't think Ertz should be up there. And then if you look at Ebron, 13 touchdowns last year, that's got to regress, right? So in the late rounds, I think I would look at people like O.J. Howard, someone that only played 10 games, but his points per game average would have put him in the top five. Guys like that. Guys like Evan Ingram, who didn't end up so high because he only played 11 games. But if you look at his points per game, 7.2 points per game, he's a top seven guy.
713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. Somebody asked, I'm just curious, and if you're not comfortable saying it, it's cool. What's the biggest cash you've ever had, either from a poker tourney or a wager? Yeah, I don't like to talk about that at all because I had a very long, drawn-out problem with the IRS over a year where I had a significant amount of poker winnings, and I have just now got that paid back. So, yeah, in person, I'm more than happy to talk about it, but over the air, I really don't like to. And it's, I've had some really good scores, some of which, you know, that I've put out on my pregame picture or whatever, so people know how much those were. But yeah, some of the big personal scores in horse racing and poker, I'll keep those to myself. You can ask me in person. I'm more than happy to talk about it. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in and, I think, it's still too early for me to get excited about anything fantasy related, but I do think, as I said, people are drafting earlier and earlier, and I am on that draft app, and Mr. Gray mentioned Breeze to Jared Cook.
Yeah, that's good value. You're not going to have to take him that early, and you've seen what, you know, Breeze did back when he had Jimmy Graham, and it feels like his arm's not quite what it used to be, so he might use the tight end a little more this year.
I like that as well. Like you said, his arm kind of fell off towards the end of the year. But if we think of what Breeze was towards that beginning, MVP candidate, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Lamont asked, before social media, it seems like local beat writers controlled most of the local information. Post-social media, it seems like it's exclusive national media. Why is that? I don't think it's exclusive national media, but I don't think it's because of social media. I think it's because of ESPN. It, at the time, especially when I was coming up in a business, the only thing that the beat writers were the only people that were there. And then ESPN started covering every team. And they had guys who, while tied to some teams, like they went out and got Adam Schefter was a beat reporter in Charlotte, or I guess in Denver, long before he was ever became Adam Schefter. And so while he was obviously dominant while he was in Denver, and guys, I appreciate that we have fantasy guys here. We are not turning this into a bunch of fantasy football questions. I'm sorry. You guys can do that on Sunday. That's the calls are lining up with fantasy questions. Here's the thing. Fantasy is fun, and it's good to talk about. Things like that were a really good general question about tight ends. But once it turns into, I'm thinking of drafting Deshaun Watson with the first-round pick. What do you think? No.
Or keeper questions are the worst.
Yeah,
it's only about year-specific.
Right, because the thing is, and as much as I love fantasy, it's masturbatory. If you're talking specifically about your team, then you should be locked in your closet and masturbating because that's what you're doing. But, you know, don't mind hitting it here and there. But, you know, the biggest problem with it is you answer one fantasy question like you guys did, and then it just blows up because everybody wants to talk about their team.
Roster baiting,
fantasy,
we call it.
Yeah, fantasy football guys like a bad beat guy. He's going to go off and tell you about bad beat, and you're thinking, I live that life too. I get my own bad beats. Thank you very much. I don't need those.
But you only remember the bad beats. You don't remember the good ones. That's because you're superstitious. But to getting back to Lamont's question, it's like there wasn't national media that covered local teams back then. And so it's not really a social media thing. It's more that the creation of ESPN and guys who were and what ESPN did was they took all the best local beat guys, with a few exceptions, and turned them into guys who were reporting on the league. There weren't a lot of people who were NFL reporters back then that did the whole league. That's why things are getting broken locally. But I don't think, and social media is just the tool they use for it, but they actually have people who cover it. Now, like, they're doing a lot less. They've scaled back. But like ESPN.com has somebody who covers every single NFL team. So they're going to break some stories. But I think it's just more of it became an emphasis for primarily ESPN. And then the other places, CBS Sports and Fox. Yahoo for a while was a major player in the sports game. And they've really de-emphasized it. But that's where Woj came from. That's where a lot of these guys came from. And they were breaking a lot of stories too. And those were all things that were more internet related than I'd say social media related.
Yeah. I mean, and fantasy football actually had a lot to do with that because people didn't necessarily care as much about their local team. They wanted to know about, you know, players on other teams. And that kind of started in the early 2000s.
Let me ask you this, Fred, how hard was it to break a story back then? Because at least to know if the source is solid, for example, because now at least when a story breaks, you can go online right now and on social media and then look and say, okay, this is legit. How about back then when you wanted to be that first guy, you got the news and you're like, okay, do I break it now? How solid is this?
We had some very specific standards that we had to adhere to. And it wasn't always the case. When I first started, if Joe from accounting told you a rumor, you'd run with it. But by the end, and it's the same thing that, frankly, we do on SportsMap. If we get something that's going to be breaking news type or source related, we had to have one. We had to have a source. We had to have a corroborating source. And we had to let whoever the editor know who it was so that they could make the determination as to whether or not it ran. Now, if you do all that, you're going to lose some stories. And we had one, and I've mentioned this before, the biggest story we got beat on was one that we had won. We had Vince Young going pro and had it from someone very close to him. And I was happy with it. My immediate boss was happy with it. We had it ready to go. And the main boss said no because he didn't know this person and didn't trust him. And, of course, the morning news got it about 6 hours later and beat us. Ugh. And, yeah, it's frustrating when you lose out on something like that when you had it. You had him beat. And the guy had worked the source for a long time and gotten to know that person really well so that we were going to be first with it. And, we had one guy in management who's like, nope, that's not good enough. And I disagreed with it then. I disagree with it now. But didn't matter. And of course, guess whose ass got chewed out when they got it? People wonder why I don't miss the bleeping Chronicle. All right, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. What is this you were playing?
It's Beck.
Okay. Usually when I ask you, it's because I like the song. This is not... This is not that. What I was saying was print media more fun and interesting when the Chronicle had competition with the Post. Yeah, I mean, that's what I grew up with was, you know, where we had to send somebody over to get their papers to see the early edition to see if they had something that we didn't. And the other fun part about it was if there was some filler story at the top of the page, we knew we were about to get our ass beat on something. And so everybody would start scrambling to try to figure out what it was. But and they did the same thing. They came and got our papers because we had an early edition that only went to like Beaumont. And so we'd get that one and we still had time to change it for later. But it was fun competing. But yeah, I was just off air telling them some of the real stories as to why I'm so damn glad that I got out of that business when I did. And, you know, at the end, you saw where newspapers were going. At least I did. I felt like, and then a lot of people tell me, oh, well, you're going into another dying industry in radio. And 10 years later, we've had more success than ever. And it's not a dying industry. It's an expanding industry. It's just expanding into streaming and expanding into digital and all these other things that we're doing. But, I am really happy that I left when I did. I'll just leave it at that. And things have worked out perfectly. Hassan on Twitter asks, over under win totals for your Rockets. He thinks it's at 52.5. How do you feel about that?
Well, the bringing in of Russell Westbrook only moved that whole line a game. So a lot of people that...
So he's only a game... They're only a game better with him than they were with Chris Paul?
Which makes no sense, right? But then I think that they'll have troubles. It's going to take time to gel, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And let's say the last 5 minutes of the game and it's a close game, that's going to take time to see how they're going to make that work. So I think they'll have their moments where they look like the best team in the NBA and they'll go on there, they'll win 8-9 games, and then they're going to have moments where they look real bad. But we all know that it comes down to the playoffs, and with that roster and the way that the NBA is built right now, to me it's anybody's game.
Texter asks, Brad Powers thinks UT is the most overrated team coming into this season. Your thoughts? I don't know if they're overrated, but I also feel like it might be a little premature to start throwing them into the playoff talk. So if that makes them overrated, then yeah, I think they're going to be really good. But, I mean, this Sam Ellinger for Heisman stuff and all that, that feels a little bit premature to me. I mean, they had a nice season last year, and I know everybody's excited about a bowl win, but you know, in winning a New Year's Six, and that's great, but there's still a pretty good step there to get to the playoffs, and they got to get past OU. And Brad's basing it on, well, a lot of things, and hopefully Brad will be on later and we can have him address it a little bit, but he's also looking at the fact that Tom Herman's always better when his team's an underdog. And guess what? They're not going to be an underdog very much this year. And he's been very consistent about that since he's been a head coach. Now, I also think there's something to having the best team, and they are a better team. But I think if they do what they did last year, I think UT fan will be disappointed. They shouldn't be. I think that would be a good season.
As far as the words overrated or the terms overrated, underrated, I think it comes with what you perceive them as. What have you done for me lately? And Texas fan, he's sitting there right now saying, we beat Oklahoma 48-45, or we got to the Big 12 game, or we won against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. But truth is that they got three linemen that are new offensive linemen. They bring back their center. They're moving their tackle over, their right tackle. He's going to be their left tackle now. And we know how important offensive lines are. And like you said, let's slow down a little bit on the quarterback, Sam Ehlinger. And let's see what happens here, because everyone's thinking, because he almost matched Colt McCoy's touchdowns, that something's going to happen. But again, there's a tough schedule. That week two against LSU at home is going to be a big it's going to point them in the direction that they'll end up in.
See, I could see them winning that game, but then they'll lose to an Iowa State or somebody like that they're not supposed to. But we'll see. I mean, I think Tom Herman's the right guy to build that program. I think they're already heading the right direction. I just think, you know, the whole, oh, we're back because we beat Georgia. The bowl games are dicey things, and they mean something to the team that wins. And for Texas, that was an important win to kind of get their program back to where they believe they should be. But I also think that might have been a year ahead. So if they do that again and fans are disappointed, I think they're wrong, because this should be the year, and then they should take another step next year.
Yeah, that Georgia team they played against, if you look at how many people how many players ended up going pro, it's like they were mentally checked out, a lot of those guys, because they already had a foot into the NFL. So why go all out while you had Texas really going all in?
Well, and that's common in a lot of bowl games. But I'm going to give Texas credit, though. They were much more physical than Georgia was in that game. And they clearly wanted to play well, and they did. And I don't think Georgia was half-assing it. I mean, I think some of their players might have been, but for the most part, you know, but having said all that, 9 times out of 10, unless it's a playoff game, you can't draw anything from the bowls. It's just a good thing for fans to feel good about. It's a good thing for your recruiting to say, hey, look, we beat an SEC team. That's always great. But in terms of, were they really better than Georgia? Probably not. If they'd played a meaningful game, I don't think they're beating Georgia. But, you know, that again, that's if you're a fan, you have a totally different perspective on it. And Tall Chief says Georgia was disappointed not getting a playoff bid. And that was the thing. That's why I bet Texas in that game, for that very reason, is I thought, you know, and we see this all the time. It happened with Alabama when Utah beat them, where they thought they're playing for a national championship. Suddenly they're playing Utah. That's found money there to bet on a team like that, because Utah, it meant everything to them. When Central Florida beat Auburn, same thing. Auburn just missed out on playing in a playoff. And it's like, oh, Central Florida, guys in the AAC, we're going to spank them. And we can half-ass it. And then the other team is fired up and they get the win. It's not that uncommon.
You remember the feeling going into that Georgia game, seeing the double digits up there and knowing how Herman performs and, you know, being a double or an underdog period, it felt like stealing. And then Bevo comes out and sets the tone. Remember, he tried to hit the dog, and you're thinking, man, I'm going all in. Let's do this.
Yeah, Drunk Bevo says, if any Texas fan gets upset with this young team, only makes it to a New Year's Six Bowl, I'll smack them. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good goal for them this year. And if you do better than that, that's awesome. But I also think that's the realistic thing that fans should be hoping for this year. And you know, there is a process to getting to that level. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, they've got to surpass Oklahoma on a regular basis in order to win the Big 12.
And that was big when they beat them last year in the Red River rivalry, man. I was excited. I had some money on that, too, so I was even more excited. And Jerry, we talked about it on the show when they played Oklahoma the second time. That was a tough one,
with
right?
With that huge over-under.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we go back to calling it the shootout? I know that's not politically correct.
I know, right?
But we're in Texas, damn it. In Texas, we want to have a shootout. We can have a shootout. That's why guns are legal. Red River Shootout. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So do we really have a giveaway today, even though I've been giving away too many?
Yes. I cleared it with Courtney.
Okay. All right, you know what? I'm gonna let this be a money line giveaway. I'm gonna let you guys figure this out in the next couple minutes while I'm doing gym of the day. How you want to give away two spots to the listener party? Have somebody either tweet or text or call that knows something about your show because they listen every week that you guys can pick. How's that? Does that sound fair?
Works for me.
Aaron, you good with that?
I like it. And it's a spot and a guest. So, yes, it's two spots, but it's one person.
Right. It's one person plus one. And if you
just making sure we're all clear.
If you don't have a plus one, it's very, very sad.
I mean, Nick sold a couple of his invites, so you could probably sell it on Twitter.
Wow. Really?
From what they said, I don't know if he really did, but that was the running joke last week, is that he was going to sell, because we each get a couple of guests. He was going to sell his because he didn't have friends.
Well, there's good and bad people on both sides. Sad. All right, let's do the, you guys think about that while I do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
You know, I'm starting to think that we've been joking about all week how Thanos was right about some things. And boy, if I could just snap away half the population. I think I have another big chunk of the population I want to add to my little box of hate that I would turn into dust if I could. And it's the hyper-rich celebrities. Google had a climate change conference. Okay? Good thing to get behind, right? We, you know, for all these people that deny it, climate change is a real thing. Your kids, the next kids, they may not have a world worth living in if we don't do something about it. So I'm behind that 100%. So is Google. So they had a big thing on climate change, among other things. Except all these people they invited, Leonardo DiCaprio, Katy Perry, Barack Obama, Prince Harry, Orlando Bloom. Okay, we're trying to fix the environment, right? You know what we probably shouldn't do? Use 114 private jets to get there.
Shame.
Not to mention Leo DiCaprio's yacht, which is 450 feet long and powered by four diesel engines. Now, I'm not good at climate change.
Dumbass.
But isn't that kind of flying right in the face of what you're supposed to be doing?
Yeah. I mean, straight slap in the face. Yeah.
So here's what they did. And, of course, the Washington Post crunched the numbers and found that 114 first-class seats from Los Angeles to Palermo, Italy, where it was landed, would spew an estimated 784,000 kilograms of CO2 into the air. I'm sorry, but that's a bad look. Think you get a private jet, 114 of them, to a conference on climate change? I don't think you're helping.
Shame.
And I think you're a bunch of pretentious little bitches. I do. And that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. It's that time of year again where we want to thank you, our loyal listeners, at our 2019 Listener Appreciation Party, also known as the LAP. So if you want to come and join Jerry Bo's lap, you can do it.
Will there be any dancing?
That's up to you. That's totally up to you. All I know is that I have a very private office. Regardless, you can join the broadcast, editorial, and management team of ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map, which, guess what? Guess who we have here? One of our best contributors and our assistant editor. For an evening of food from Big City Wings, heard me talk about earlier. Drinks are provided by Coors Light at the home of Gal Media and our palatial Gal Media Estate. That'll be Thursday, August 15th at 6:30 p.m. And we're going to give away tickets thanks to GiveMeTheVin.com. Sell us your card. GiveMeTheVin.com. I always want to go, so easy you can do it in your underwear. Get an instant offer for your vehicle in just 60 seconds. The only way to get an invite is to listen and win, so make sure to keep listening all week. You must be 21 plus to attend. Invitation only.
You also have to wear more than underwear.
Yeah, it kind of depends on if you're in somebody's private office. It's okay. So, what did you guys...
I was just saying to get in the door.
Yeah, to get in the door, you have to have clothes on, of course. And
the party was in your office last year, right? The liquor ended up coming up missing, but...
Well, no, that was my fault because I told a few people, hey, I've got some Harvey's Remnants in there if you want to go drink it. And That was fine. I had two or three people, and then I realized that I probably told four or five people that. And then
word gets around.
And word gets around, and all of a sudden I go in there, and it's like, damn, I got all my liquor. But that's okay. I will bring something for the people who come by my office this year. But, you know, it's going to be limited. I'm not going to just let you go in my office and drink it. It's like you'll have to come in, and I'll pour it, and you can get a shot of it. But, yeah.
There might be some dancing going on in there.
You know, whatever happens after the liquor's poured is not really my responsibility. So what did you guys decide in terms of giving it away?
All right, how about this? We even mentioned it a little earlier in the show. It's a big thing on our Moneyline show, 10 to noon Sundays, when Jerry's Twitter account was suspended and he had to call to get it reactivated. What language was the message in when he had to call and get that taken care of?
Okay, so we're going to do the first person to call in that can say that? Is that what we're doing?
Let's do it.
At 5:55. Don't call until 5:55, all right? But the first person who can come up with that, there you go. See? It just says Barry. Is that our Barry or is that just a... Oh, well, thanks for letting me know.
It's on your rundown.
Where?
Right next to where it says your lives.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't look at that side because that usually says AJ. And AJ's not here. But that's all right. Barry is. Our good friend, Barry Laminack. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Fred? How's it going, man?
Sports and stuff, man.
Sports and stuff like that, dude. I am out here at the 43rd annual 2019 Hunters Extravaganza at the NRG Center. They're out here August 2nd through the 4th. It's crazy. There's like all kinds of stuff going on. They've got this new Locked and Loaded giveaway where they give away $100,000 of hunting and archery gear. And there's so much stuff to do. I was like, dude, there's like so many stuffed animals everywhere. I thought I saw my ex-wife. It was a buffalo. So that wasn't it at all. But there's like all kinds of stuff. You can check out the latest in hunting gear, equipment, technology, accessories, knives and guns. So don't make anybody angry while you're here. They've got seminars. Radu and I went to the snake pit. That was a little weird. There's just two dudes in there with about 50 rattlesnakes. I'm like, this is definitely a Caucasian activity. I don't know why I would stand, but it was fascinating. I did learn that rattlesnakes don't shake their rattle when they're mad. They do that when they're nervous. I was like, oh, I pooed a little. So that's kind of the same thing, I guess. But no, it's a lot of fun. There's a ton of stuff to see and do. Get out here August 2nd through the 4th. And if you're active military, if you're a vet, police, first responders, bring your ID, you get in free. Kids under 5 get in free as well. So if you need details, just head on over to huntersextravaganza.com. Huntersextravaganza.com. August 2nd through the 4th. Fred, you coming out?
You know, that actually sounds like a lot of fun. I might have some time this weekend. I may do it.
Come on, play with the rattlesnakes, man. It's not scary at all.
I don't want to mess with the snakes. I just, you know, wouldn't mind having some stuff to take to my place when it's ready to go so I can hunt.
There you go. So, yeah, well, you better get ready, right? You got to get some deer blinds and some feeders and all that stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next hour and enjoy the snakes.
Very good.
All right. I'm not a fan of snakes. And I don't really want to go and see a whole bunch of rattlesnakes either.
Snakes and spiders, I'm out.
Some snakes are okay. Like, I don't mind like a king snake or something. As long as it's not going to bite me or try to squeeze the life out of me like a python would, I'm okay with it. I don't want to play with it. I don't want to see a woman with it naked. But it can exist. But if you're going to venom me or strangle me, then you must die. And there's nothing that's going to stop me from doing that. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Stuck on the side of the road. I tripped and fell on hard times. Tough breaks are the only kind I know. I was left on the doorstep. I was scared to death. To ESPN 97.5.